It's 88.5 KCSN, joined live in studio today with Foy Vance playing at the Troubadour tonight. Going to have a great, nice, intimate show down there in West Hollywood. And also, he's got his new album out called The Wild Swan. Thank you so much for coming on by today, Foy.
Thanks for having me.
And let's kind of start from where, I guess this is kind of where this record would have begun. You were the second artist that was signed on Gingerbread Records, which is Ed Sheeran's personal label. How did that come about? How did that relationship start, and how'd you end up signing with the label?
Well, I was out of a deal, and I was thinking I wanted to make another record, but wasn't sure how to go about it, you know, just to do it guerrilla style, like I did the first one, or go with another label. And I talked to Ed. I was talking to Ed about it, and he said he'd like to sign it, and then we had a chat, and he pretty much told me that I could make the record that I wanted to make, you know, just go and do it. So that was a no-brainer.
Yeah, because for you as an artist, you have that freedom to say, if I want to do this, I'm going to make this happen, and having someone there to support you like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I mean, the sort of, the oddness of it is not lost on me. I mean, a man of my age and style of music, it would be highly unlikely to get signed to a major label if it wasn't for Ed Sheeran, you know. So as soon as he said that, I was in. Interestingly, though, I was always a bit wary of major labels. Not that they were knocking at the door, Jeff. You know, they haven't been knocking at my door for years or anything. But in my mind, I always thought, I'd like to, you know, I wouldn't want to be on a major label. It seems like too much shabba, you know, too much influence, and I was worried that they'd impose themselves, but they've been amazing. Actually, Ed kicked the door open, obviously, but the label have been great, really supportive.
And were there any kind of decisions you did with the sound of it? Because I listened to it, and you know, a lot of people will peg you as the singer songwriter, but it's very rich. It's very, you know, a lot of very orchestral, very rich sounds throughout the whole entire record. I mean, was that something that you feel you were able to do because you were given that freedom?
I would have done that anyway. Mm-hmm. That's probably the record I would have made. Only, I would have made it with probably a lot less money. You know, I would have cut a couple of corners here and there, maybe. I guess with this record, I wanted it to be like a collection of vignettes. You know, to treat each and every song as its own entity. You know, I didn't worry too much about having a common thread through the record per se. Like little stories. And
so you're almost able to focus in on every single track and really make sure it got the attention that it deserved. Because you did have, you were able to get that, give each track that attention and focus in and make sure it sounds exactly like you wanted it.
Yeah, well, songs have a way of letting you know what they want to sound like, you know. And all too often, you know, you go into these things, or people go into these things with very clear ideas of what they're going to do and what they want to happen. But I think until you're in the room and you make the first note, you don't really know what it's going to be. You know, you got to go with that.
Our minds are tethered, but our hearts are wild. let your joys burn. Back in Finty's bar on High Street, where we'll raise a glass to all the fair tomorrow. We will be fine, right amidst the sun. As we drink our fill, we once we drown our sorrows. I sit down by the water and I go with my voice, let the rivers roll over like lovers, old brothers and sisters. And I could learn you know we need it more. Our minds are tethered, but our hearts are wild. I can buy good time. Come.
You're joining one of many other artists who have chosen Nashville as a place to record the record. What brought you in there? What got you into the South?
Well, Jakir King, the guy that produced it, he got me in there. He made a few records that I really, really love. One in particular is Mule Variations by Tom Waits, which is an exquisite record, top to bottom. Great. The songs are great. They're articulated great. But the other thing that always struck me about it was the sonic quality of it. So I knew of Jakir for years. You know, I always thought I'd love to work with the guy that engineered that because, you know, it sounds, you know, so good. So I called him up and then I actually flew out to meet him after we spoke on the phone. Flew out to meet him because I wanted to make sure that we were on the same page because he's done some other records that, you know, sound great, but they're not the sound that I would want, you know. I wouldn't want that sort of tight commercial sound. So I went out, meet him, and we had a chat, and I let him know exactly what I wanted to do with this record, or, you know, give him the vibe for it, and he was in. And he was working out of Blackbird at the time, so, you know, just made sense to go to him.
You went into this record, you said you didn't really have a plan or anything. Well, you obviously had songs there, but you didn't really have a plan for exactly how you wanted it to sound. I mean, what were kind of your expectations that you were going in with this record? What did you want to get out of it?
Authenticity. You know, really, I suppose. I went in with a handful of songs, and some of them made the record and some of them didn't. And then other songs made the record that didn't even exist. But when we started recording, like Noam Chomsky is a Soft Revolution, I hadn't written that song. I'd written a verse of it. I had an idea for it. I'd written the first verse, but I'd never gone any further. And then we were recording a song, Upbeat Feel Good. And we played it like three times around. We just kept the tape rolling and kept on playing. But after about the third take, it was very clear that we weren't upbeat or feeling good. You know, you could tell we were playing the parts.
Yeah.
So I said, listen, keep the tape rolling and we'll have a 3-minute departure and then we'll go back and record Upbeat Feel Good. So I played this song Casanova, which the guys had never even played before. The bass player had never played it anyway. I think they'd maybe heard me play it at a show or something, but and that's that one take of it made the record. Mm-hmm. And it sort of changed it a bit. It changed the sort of direction of where we're going, I felt anyway. So I went home and finished that song, Noam Chomsky's A Soft Revolution.
I feel good.
I'm upbeat, feel good. I'm upbeat, and I feel good. Well, come and sit down by my side. Darling, look me in the eye. If you wanna ask me, now's the time. 'Cause my head's not heavy and my heart is right. Oh, I'm upbeat, feel good. I'm upbeat and I feel good.
You have an executive producer on this one.
Yeah.
Elton John. How did he get a credit in here? You don't see his name pop up too often.
Well, I met him through Ed again. I went around to his house for dinner one night and we got talking and just got lost in music. You know, he's such a musicologist, so erudite when it comes to talking about music. He just knows seemingly every band that has ever existed and where they recorded and what song was their best song. And, you know, he's really interesting guy to talk to. So after that night, I kept in contact with him via email. Actually, he emailed me when I left the house, you know, saying, oh, it was nice to meet you, let's keep in contact. And I replied saying, I thought I told you never to email me.
I think that probably was fun that he's like, I like this guy. He's willing to say I didn't want you to email me. How many people to say that to Elton John?
No, he's a laugh a minute, that guy. He's got a great sense of humor. But basically, I would just send him songs and get his take on them, you know. And I didn't always, it's not that I was sort of, you know, hating everything he said. But it's good to have an opinion, even if it's not the opinion that you end up going with. It's good to think. And because of the way he talks about music and feels about music, it helped me to think about, you know, the songs that I was picking for the record. And yeah, so it was great to have him to bounce stuff off.
Foy Vance here, live at the Troubadour tonight. KCSM presents that show. The new album is called The Wild Swan. Thank you so much for coming on by today.
Oh, Foy. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's Foy Vance on 88.5 KCSN.